If you would, turn to Genesis, the third chapter, the 14th verse. If you would, Genesis 3:14. Whenever you found it, please stand in honor of God's word. Let's read it together. I'm going to read a couple of verses there. Genesis 3:14-15. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart one more time, Lord. Father, I ask you, Father, to be with these here. Father, I pray that you would do that. I pray, Father, that whatever's said and done here this morning, Lord, that totally be for the upbuilding of your kingdom and for your glory and for your honor. Father, I just want to give you all the glory that you so rightly deserve, all the praise that you so rightly deserve. I want to give you that this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that you know for the anointing more than anything, Father, here. For without that, Lord, there's no need to even go on. Lord, we know that. And Father, we ask it all in Jesus' holy and precious name, and amen, and amen. You may be seated. Good morning to all of you, by the way. If I forgot to do that a little bit, good morning to everybody here at Drifter Church. Good to have all of you here. You know, I want to start by saying that I am not a snake expert, but no, Tony's not even here this morning. I was going to ask him some stuff, but I'm not none but whatsoever. But something that got me on this, and you'll see as I get into it, where the point I'm trying to make here, I seen a commercial here a while back, and this was a commercial for, I think it's some kind of whiskey, but it's called the Devil's Cut, is what it was called. It was what, and what got me to thinking about that, you know, my mind, you guys probably think sometimes I'm probably pretty nuts, but my mind thinks, okay, well, does the devil eat, does the devil drink? And so I got to thinking about that as I've seen that commercial, and I put it to the side, and God started dealing with me this past week about it. So he led me to this scripture here in Genesis 3:14. And I'll get back to that in a little bit. But let's get this. Like I said, I'm not no expert on snakes. But when I read this piece of scripture, something the Lord kept bringing it out to me. And dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I have said, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, I understand that. And so it takes me a while sometime for God to deal with me on some things. So he kept dealing with me on this and dealing with me. And I got to be the first to admit. I got to be the first to admit this. You know, God's word is God's word, and it is true no matter what. No matter what. Romans 3:4 tells us this. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, thou mightest be justified in the saying, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. So I looked at that scripture and I said, well, you know what, God? I said, snakes don't eat dirt. They don't eat dust. I never know them just to eat that. I know they eat other things. So I got to thinking about this. As the Lord started dealing with me about this and about snakes, especially how they hunt, especially how they eat and how they get their prey. Do you realize there's over 3,000 variety of snakes in the world today? There's over 3,000 of them. My wife would probably tell you there's 3,001 because there's a headless variety that we have up around the house. She would probably tell you that. But you know what? There's over 3,000 varieties of snakes. They can range anywhere from 2.5 inches long, clear up to 34 foot long. That's what the largest anaconda has been caught that is. And God kept on dealing with me. He said, you know what? They can sense a snake. What they do, and this is how God started, when I got to looking into it, whenever they stick their tongues out, you know that's how that they sense where their prey is, right? And they can sense in their underbelly. They have things down there where they can sense and feel vibration. But when they stick their tongue out, do you know what they're collecting? They're collecting dust samples. And whenever they collect dust samples, they know what their prey is. They know where it's at. They know by the vibration how far away it is. And you know, I got to thinking, okay, God, now you're starting to show me some things. You know, that's how he said that they would eat dust all the days of their life. All right, so I got to think, so some snakes will ambush their prey. Some will hunt their prey. Some of them can't see very well at all, and some of them can see very well at all. I learned that. But you know what? The thing about them is, now get back to the scripture in Genesis where I was looking at there, whenever it said that in verse 14, he said, and the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. We know, according to Scripture, that the serpent was more cunning than anything that God had created. Now, whenever that said that, that didn't mean that was bad at that time. Do you know that? When God created it, God created him, and it was everything was good. God said everything was good. And I don't know this. I can only say what I've read, that they thought that the serpent was walking up on his legs, had feet and legs. They'd said that. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that. All that I know is God put him on his belly. I do know that much about it. So it shows to me that maybe they did. God pronounced judgment on this beast. He pronounced judgment on him. But you know the thing of it is, the devil was using him to bring about the fall of mankind. And the thing that God was showing me is, the devil is still out there today seeking whom he may devour. You know the Bible tells us that? And you know, God started putting this together, and I hope you get what I get out of it. He didn't stop tracking people down. Do you know that? The devil doesn't stop tracking people down, and he will not stop tracking people down until one day God said that he's going to put him in the lake of fire to where he'll be tormented forever and ever. That's when he's going to stop tracking people down. We say, what about the 1,000-year reign? Yeah, he's put up for a while, but guess what happens at the end of the 1,000-year reign? He's let out to deceive and to destroy some more. So he's not totally taken care of until he's thrown into the fiery pit. Satan didn't stop tracking his prey. Brothers and sisters, I look around here today and I see plenty of prey in here today. Do you understand that? I see plenty. He's still doing the same thing today. He's still looking for those that he can feed on. You get what I'm saying here this morning? He's still doing it. He will continue to do that. Like I said, until he's cast into the lake of fire. You see, when we come up against the devil and his minions, whenever we come up against him, he's trying to fill you out. Do you understand what I'm saying at this? No, the devil's not like God. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent. He's not all that stuff. But I'll tell you one thing he is. The Bible said back then that they were cunning. He's still very cunning today. And he knows, and he tries to search, and he tries to look. And you know what? I can just see him sticking out his tongue and gathering the dust that sometimes we create, that we put up, to try to find out just exactly what he's dealing with out there. Just exactly who he's got and who we are and what we're about. He's still doing that. He's still using the dust to tell how big we are spiritually. He's still using the dust to tell if we're afraid or if we're not afraid. He's still using the dust to find someone to prey on. He's doing it. He knows just exactly what you and I are made of. Amen? He knows where we stand in our walk with the Lord this morning. He knows that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Then, he's very good at taking advantage of opportunities that have been given him. Over in James 1, 3 and 15, it says this, let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, and it says, we're going to say, and enticed, and when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Who do you think lays temptation and enticement out there for us? Who do you think does that? God's not doing it. It has to be something else. And I believe it's the devil that lays it out there, and he tries to see how we will react to it. 1 Corinthians 7:5. Do not deprive each other except perhaps... Now, this scripture I'm going to read here in 1 Corinthians 7:5, dealing with marriage is what this is dealing with. All of us know this scripture. But if you look at it, it says, do not deprive each other except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourself to prayer. And this is the part I want you to get, the last part of it. Then come together again so that who? So that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. You don't think that he doesn't try to lay temptations out in front of us? Just like the snake did there, just like it did when it sticks his tongue out trying to figure out what its prey's about, where's prey's out. Satan is trying to figure out. He has never quit that. He's still after you to this time, to this day. And he knows if there's blood in the water. You know, when I was reading this, I went down so many loopholes, so many rabbit holes on this, you cannot believe. But you know what? Whenever there's blood in the water for a shark, you know a shark can sense that 600 yards away? Did you know that? A shark can tell if there's blood in the water. They said that they used something, it was called stereo, that they can put out and they can figure out where blood is up to 600 yards away. And I thought, man, yeah, and the devil's no different than that. You understand? He knows that. He knows that. He also knows if you were just playing games here this morning. He knows every one of us here. He knows our hearts and stuff. You know why? Not that he knows our hearts particularly, but he knows how we are and how we act and how we react to everything. He knows that. And he's watching and he's trying to figure out if he can get in there to do something. You don't think he doesn't know? Listen, what it said over in Acts about the sons of Sceva. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits, says this, tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you, come out. The seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know. He said, Paul I know about. But who are you? I'm here to tell you, the devil knows where you stand this morning. He knows if you're on Jesus' side, and he knows if you're not on Jesus' side here this morning. You forget that whenever we do these things, we stir up that dust in our lives, and the devil can take advantage of it. And he's just wanting to get something to eat. He's wanting that. The devil lasts his tongue out, you know what? And he's looking for something big and juicy to grab a hold of. That's exactly what he wants. And brothers, I'm here to tell you this morning, there have been times in my life, I'll be honest with you and up front, there have been times I have stirred up the dust in my life, and that dust wasn't good. And I'm here to tell you, the devil's right there to pounce on me. Amen? And I'm telling you, brothers, I know what I'm talking about. He's looking for something. If he can find out that, you know what? If he can get something, a stranglehold in your life, he will use it to try to tear you down and tear your family apart. Anything to distract you. Anything to get you off center. Anything to take your focus off of God, off of Jesus. He will do that. How many of you in here have ever lost your focus? Amen. Have you ever noticed when you've lost your focus where it takes you to? Especially on your focus on God. I know where it's brought me to. It throws you off center. And the things he loves more than anything else is to get that little crack. I know I've said this. Jamie said this. But the devil wears pointed toe shoes. Because I had an old preacher used to say that years ago, back in 14th Avenue. He said he just likes to get his toe right in. Just get his toe right in any little crack in your life. And that's where he'll start to eat away at. You know, I've noticed there are areas of my life where I am strong, and the Lord has allowed me to be strong in certain areas of my life. But there's other areas where I'm weak. Do you think the devil comes after my strong areas? Never has. He always comes after the areas that I am weak in. He always tries to attack there. And I'm telling you this morning, he will do that for you this morning. You know, the Bible tells us there's three different areas where sin can enter into our lives at. And I'm going to go over some things here in just a little bit, but I want to read you a scripture in 1 John 2:16. And it tells us this, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Who's the God of this world? Have you ever put that together? I'm sure we have. But it says that Satan is the little god of this world. It's what it tells us. You know, that's how this stuff enters into our life whenever we look at it. You know what? When we stir up the dust, when we kick it up, he can sense it. The devil can sense it. And what he can do is he wants to make those matters worse in our life. I'll tell you, it happens. I see it happen. I've talked to people where it's happened. Listen, as a preacher, I have talked to enough people down through the years to know I know what I'm talking about. They never intended to cheat on their wives. They never intended to sin. They never intended to do this. They never intended to do that. But you know what happened? Just that one little crack. Just they stirred up just a little bit of dust of doubt. And you know what? The devil got in there, and I'm here to tell you, he brought them, and he kept after them and kept after them because it was an area that they were weak in. And I'm here to tell you, he has brought a lot of people down just because of that. Listen, some of the things I wanted to, that I think encompasses this John, 1 John 2, 1, 2:16. The first thing that we need to guard is our hearts. The Bible tells us that specifically. It tells in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." That's our heart. That's our body, our soul, our heart. That's what he's telling. Satan knows the entry point to get into. He knows where to start at. Man, I'll tell you this. Sarah, if he could get into your heart, if he can get in there and start in there, he could tear it. He can get into a lot of different areas in our life. He does that. And that's why the Bible says to guard our hearts. Say, if God is not first, I'm just going to put it bluntly to you. If God is not first, you are giving Satan that opportunity to get into your heart. If God is not first. Jesus said in Luke 10:27, he said this, and he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Satan's greatest desire, his greatest desire is for us to, this scripture here is to get it completely out of our lives, because he doesn't want us focusing on God. He doesn't want us to love God. He doesn't want us with all of thy heart. He doesn't want us with all of thy soul. He doesn't want us to do that with all of our minds. Because when we do that, he knows that he cannot get in there as easy if we keep our focus on God. So we have to get our hearts right. We've got to get them right. Satan's desire is to prevent us from giving all of our heart to him. That's his desire. Render you ineffective for God's work. He will dangle stuff out in front of us. He does that. Things, desires in front of us. He does it all the time. He dangles that stuff out there. Just like a fishing rod. Just like a bait on a fishing rod. He dangles it out there to see if we're going to hit, if we're going to do it, to distract. He offers us up false gods to go after. He does. And there's a lot of those out there. Man, I tell you, I could preach the rest of the afternoon on false gods out there if I want to. There's a bunch of them. And brothers and sisters, there's some of them that we sometimes think of are just innocent. But they are false gods that people have erected in their lives. You don't even realize it until it's too late. You don't realize what's going on until it's way too late in our lives. This happens all the time. If you kick that kind of dust up, if you kick it up, he'll sense it. And he'll move in and try to continue on and try to make it worse and worse in your life. Other heart desires like careers. There's desires like hobbies. I mean, I know people that are working out... listen to me. I used to work out a lot, so I'm not here judging nobody. You can ask my wife. There, I would work out 6 days a week. That's just the way that I was at one time. But what I would do, and this is what it says, sometimes more people want to work out in the gym than they do want to work God out in their hearts. Amen. God convicted me of it. Amen? 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 Because there are times we put more emphasis on what's on the outside. I'm not saying we shouldn't take care of ourselves. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm telling you is we've got to be careful about how that we do things. We've got to be careful. So some love food, some love money, some love different things like that. You know, if anything like that in your life is more important than God, that's where we have to put and let us know that God, I am yours. I want my mind to be totally yours. I know I preached that sermon here the first of the year there. I said, you know what? Renew my mind. Renew my mind. And I hope you continue to pray for me. Because I've been praying for you guys. I want you to understand that. I want you to continue to pray for me to renew my mind daily. I want it renewed. Because you know what? When I step out that door in the morning and I go to work, most of you know this, we're in a battle. We're in a battle. And I get to work and that battle doesn't get any easier. That battle sometimes can get worse. And I'm here to tell you, I am in a battle. You are in a battle. Lord, renew my mind daily. Lord, help me to understand, Lord. Help me to put more focus on you. Guard your heart. Don't let anything replace God. Not a thing. Don't let Satan sneak anything else in there. I got recreation and children is down there as well as I put down there. But you know what? Brothers and sisters, we can let all these things become more important to us than God. We can do it. Our worries. That's something else I wrote down here. Our worries. Listen, Satan wants you stressing Because if you're stressing, because you're not trusting in God whenever you're stressing, whenever you're worrying, our trust in God goes out the window whenever we start trusting and worrying and stressing about things. Don't start playing the game. Don't start playing that game with the devil. Because that the devil, whenever you kick up that kind of dust, I'm here to tell you this morning, the devil senses that. He loves it when fear and worry is in your life because he can attack then. You start kicking up that dust in the air, and it happens to all of us. Satan loves playing that game with you. Doubts start flooding in. I've done that. You've all done that. We've all had doubts at times in our life. And whenever one starts, does it not cascade down to more and more and more of it? I've been there. I know that whenever doubts and worries start gathering in, it just piles up on one another. And brothers, before we know it, if we're not careful, Satan has us totally thinking that God is not able to do anything in our lives. And that is not right. Before we serve a God that can do all things. Don't doubt and fear. Get a hold of your mind. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. This is good scripture. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the only way that we can do it. The only way is to do what it says here. It's to pray and ask God and have Him give us that peace that passes all understanding. I can sit up here and tell you that you can have peace in your life. I can sit up here and tell you, but until you've experienced the peace of God, you'll never know what kind of peace that is. There are times in our life we all have peace. There's peaceful times in our life. I'm talking about the supernatural peace of God. That whenever, no matter what's coming against you, no matter what's up against you, no matter what the doctor tells you, no matter what the world tries to tell you, that there's a peace. I'll tell you what, that's a supernatural peace. That isn't the peace that we get from time to time. That's a supernatural peace. Keep praying, keep thanking God for what He's done, and more importantly, keep thanking God for what He's going to do. Amen? I believe that when we go to the throne of grace boldly, God, we should be up there to thank Him for what He's done. If we have any prayers, pray, God, you know, your will be done in my life, and pray, God, I am going to thank you for what you're going to do. Amen? I think we can do that. I believe that we can do that. I'll tell you something else, and this goes right along with the heart, our everyday thinking patterns. I think the devil tries to get into our everyday thinking patterns. It's always amazed me of this. How many people profess to know God and God's Word, yet their lifestyles doesn't show it? Has it ever amazed you? It amazes me because I see it all the time. I have seen people stand up and testify in church that go out here and do some of the most ungodly things you'd ever think of, but yet, you know what? They stand and testify in church. Am I judging? I'm telling you, by your fruits you shall know them. By their fruits you shall know them. I'm here to tell you this morning. I've seen that. I'm not standing up here just throwing stuff out there and putting it out there just to be putting it out there. Because I believe that, you know, our everyday thinking of what we do is important when it comes down to not letting Satan have that food out of our lives. And the way they think, or just everyone else in the world, is the way they think. It's just like everyone else in the world, is the way they think. These people kick up a big old batch of dust. And Satan just loves it. He just loves coming in. Satan loves it when people are absorbed by the ways of the world. He loves it. He loves it. And when they are totally clueless about what God has done and what God can do in their lives, totally clueless some people are about it. And He'll send out cunning little subtle messages. He does that all the time. He sends them out. Messages that sound right. I'll tell you what, there's so much out there today. And I know I keep harping on this sometimes, maybe a little bit too much, but on our social media, there's so much out there that where right is wrong, and they can make it sound like it's so right. Amen? I've read some stuff that if you didn't know God's Word, and if you didn't, or if you weren't really, really dedicated and standing upon God's Word and really rooted and grounded, it could make anybody. The Bible says that in the last days, if it were possible, that even the very elect would be deceived. Amen? That's what it says. And I'm here to tell you, you've got to be careful. You've got to be, our thinking patterns, what we read, what we think about, what we put in here. I read something the other day that a preacher had put out there that I couldn't believe that he had put it out there. I'm just here to tell you, be careful. Be careful what we're doing. He'll send out this message. He'll send them out through our music, through our social media, through all different things. The messages go out there. They go out. And when those messages go out, if we don't know what we're standing on or how we're doing, those things can have an effect on us. They can even have an effect on our friends. Did you know that? Our friends could tell us stuff sometimes. I'm going to go down that path. Anyway, Scripture commands us to copy the behavior. The Scripture tells us, and it tells us not to copy the customs of this world. That's what the Scripture tells us. Over in Romans 12:2, it says this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." We are to fix our thoughts on the things of God. Philippians 4:8-9, "Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." I tell you, I have learned, if you take Philippians 4:8-9, if you apply that to your life, along with the renewing of the mind, I'm here to tell you it will make a difference in your life, in your Christian walk. I guarantee it will. If you do what it says right there, to think on everything that's true, everything that's pure, honest, whatever things are just. Man, there's a lot of stuff out there that's not pure and honest and just out there. We know it. We see it. And it comes from all sides. But we are to focus on what's good and just. We are. Satan would rather have you and I living in mental anguish. He would rather have you and I living in mental anguish every day than the things of God. He would rather have you doing that. I hope you understand it. He would rather have you thinking the worst about everybody. He would rather have you thinking about all this kind of stuff. He would rather have you doing that than he would thinking about the things that are good and lovely and just in the Word of God. Amen? Guard your thoughts every day. Every day when you step out, pray that God will guard your thoughts and help you to guard them, to keep Satan from kicking up that dust, that he can grab a hold of it and try to get in there and do more in your life. Guard your, this is something, guard your speech. Guard what you say. God wants us to be holy mouthpieces for him. Do you agree with me on that? He wants us to be holy mouthpieces for him. Do you realize you can blow it big time with your mouth? Do you know that? I've told you a story about me doing it. And I guarantee you, if everybody's honest in here, you've done it sometime in your life too. You've blown it with your mouth. And it goes, James 3. This scripture here, you all know this. I thought about, well, I was just going to say, but I want to read it because I think this is so prevalent to what I'm preaching on here this morning. It says James 3. If you want to turn there, I'll give you a minute to turn there. I'm going to begin with the first verse. Chapter 3 of James, verse 1. "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." That should get us to thinking right there. That should get us thinking, the greater condemnation. "For in many things we are offended of all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle his whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, and that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole bodies. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about by a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little matter, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fires of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and things in the sea is tamed, and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitudes of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings, my brethren. These things not ought so to be. That scripture right there, honestly, every one of us should have it taped on our refrigerators, me included. Because this is not so easy for us to start in whenever somebody starts talking, well, you know, it's just an innocent little, no, it's not. No, it's not. Gossip is gossip. Gossip is gossip. And we can tear lives apart by gossip. A little gossip here, a little some profanity there. We stirred up enough dust for the devil and all his minions to come into our lives and try to create more and more trouble for us. I've seen people's lives tore up because of somebody's tongue. I've seen it. Jamie, you've seen it. We've seen it because somebody could not keep their mouth, I'm going to say it, mouth shut, about something that they had no idea what they was even talking about. We were stirred up enough dust to call Satan in it. We're fighting and tearing each other up. And it says, and Satan knows we can cause as much damage with our tongues as we can our fist, and probably more. Amen? We can do it. I'm just here to tell you, we have to watch. Satan knows what causes damage in our life. He knows that we can cause a lot of damage with our tongues. He knows that. And we stir that dust up. Believe you me, he wants to jump on that because he can take that and go in all different directions with it. Our mouths can be either instruments of righteousness or our mouths can be instruments of unrighteousness. Am I right? They can be both ways. Too many Christians have a critical, a complaining, and a judgmental spirit about them. I'm talking Christians here. Too many of us have a critical, a complaining, and a judgmental spirit about us. And that is not biblical. It is not. Remember that. When you're kicking up that dust for Satan to get a hold of. Ephesians, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. None, but that which is good to the use of and edifying. It says that it may minister grace unto the hearer. My grandmother used to say this, if you can't say nothing good about somebody, don't say it at all. She would tell me that. Have I always kept that to heart? Nope. Nope. Guess what? It's got me in trouble. How about you? 1 Ephesians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Man, I don't know about you, Sean. If I'm giving thanks all the time, I ain't got time to talk about Sean. Amen? If I'm giving thanks, if I'm praising God, if I'm giving thanks, I ain't got time to talk about Bev or anybody else in this church. Praise God. Are you stirring up the right kind of dust? Now, we can stir up good dust. You understand that? The old devil comes around, he's looking, we stir up the right kind of dust. The dust that where God's really using us. And the devil knows, well, you know what? I'm not going after that prey. That's too big. That's too much of a spiritual giant. We can do that. He can tell if you're living a dedicated life. James 4 says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil. And it says this, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. So if the devil's on your tail, he's after you. The Bible says resist him. Get on your knees and pray. Get on your knees and think about our heart, our thoughts, all the things where the devil tries to get in there. Think about all that stuff. And don't give the devil any food. How about you? I want to starve him to death. How about you? Amen. I want him to starve to death. He's no good. There's plenty more people out there that can feed him. I don't want Drift Run. I don't want us to feed him at all. Amen? I don't want us to feed him. Does the devil have food? Yeah, the devil gets food. Devil eats. But it's off of us. The right kind of dust. Are we giving out the right vibrations? Are we doing that? Praise God. I hope and pray, all of us here this morning, I hope we pray, we take this to heart and pray for one another. I'm not putting nobody down here. My goodness, I've got, you know, they have the old saying, you point a finger at somebody, you got four pointing back. I'm a man, just like anybody, every other man in here, every other woman in here. I'm just like that. I've got a heart, I've got a soul, and the devil comes after me, and when I kick up the wrong kind of dust, brother and sister, he knows it. You kick up the wrong kind of dust, he knows it. He knows it. They come and get us all this morning.